The Henry Raines Show, only on News Talk 820.
And I ain't no communist, and I ain't no capitalist, and I ain't no socialist, I ain't no imperialist, no, I ain't no Democrat, sure ain't no Republican, I only know one party, and it is freedom. I am a patriot, and I love my country.
Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA. Welcome to our second hour. Henry Raines here, CJ in the studio with me. And CJ, I'm thinking before we introduce our guest that that last line of the theme music may be the antithesis, got that word out, of our guest's book, because it says, I'm a patriot and I love my country. We're going to be speaking in just a moment with Jacqueline Stevens, author of States Without Nations, Citizenship for Mortals. She's a professor in the Law and Society program at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and besides States Without Nations, she's also the author of Reproducing the State. She analyzes the politics of hereditary groups, including laws and pseudoscientific narratives that make ethnicity, nation, race, and other intergenerational groups seem natural. Her website is JacquelineStevens.org. Also, her blog is stateswithoutnations.blogspot.com. You may remember her from the first week of January when she was on talking about her recent articles in The Nation magazine about ISIS, Immigration Customs Enforcement, secret detention centers. And we've been looking forward to talking to her again. Jacqueline Stevens, Jackie, good to talk to you again. Hello.
Hi there. Nice to be back. Thank you.
Yes. Well, I'll ask you the question about the theme music in just a minute. But first, I just want to do a quick update. When you were here the first week of January, as I said, you talked about the secret detention centers. And I've gone to stateswithoutnations.blogspot.com. I see you've written quite a bit in the last few days. Why don't you just give us a quick update about your work and research you've been doing since the last time you talked to us?
Sure. Well, it was actually really interesting after the research about the secret detention centers was published in The Nation magazine to see that local groups downloaded the locations that were available through the information I obtained through the Freedom of Information Act and actually started going to these places.
And as I told you, one's just like 10 blocks down the street from us.
Yeah. And confronting the people who worked there and asking why they didn't, have signs and make available their location. And so, that's been continuing. And more recently, I've been applying to have entrance to a press tour at the Varick Detention Center in downtown Manhattan. And that detention center has never made itself open to press tours, despite this being something that is allowed under the detention standards and also required by the First Amendment. If a government makes certain facilities available to one group, it can't deny those services to other groups, especially the press. And that's what's been happening up until now at the Varick Detention Center. On Thursday, the ACLU wrote a letter to ICE on behalf of the Nation Institute, and myself, pointing out the violations that were occurring. And in response on Friday, I received a message from ICE indicating that I would be allowed to be on a press tour on Tuesday, February 16th. So I'm looking forward to that.
Have you heard any reports about problems or irregularities there, or you're just going to satisfy your curiosity?
Well, I mean, there's two things. One is that there are absolutely problems that have been occurring at the Varick Detention Center. I don't believe that they're unique to that facility. I've recently been meeting with somebody who's being held there absolutely illegally as a result of increased arrests that are occurring at JFK and Newark international airports. And what's happening is that people who have legal status in this country, who have green cards, are returning from trips to their homeland and coming to their place, their new homes in the United States. And if there's any kind of minor misdemeanor or arrest that's showing up on their records, they're being locked up in this hidden room at JFK, this one individual told me that he and the others who were locked up weren't allowed any food for over 24 hours and taken at 2 a.m. to the Varick Detention Center. The thing that's really disturbing is that his record, and he told me, you know, that of at least 15 other people who are being held there, is not consistent with deportation. These are minor misdemeanors that don't trigger deportation. And yet, despite producing documents to the ICE deportation officer indicating that his record was inconsistent with deportation, he is still, right now, locked up there.
Well, I guess we're going to have to get another report after Tuesday.
You know, that...
Right. Well, this is actually part of a broader policy that's been implemented by Customs and Border Patrol. Sorry, but Customs and Border Protection. And it used to be the case that if something like this occurred and they noticed that there might be a problem with one's record, this was handled as an administrative matter, and you would get a notice to appear and work this out administratively. Now what they're doing is they're just locking people up. A third of the population of New York City is foreign-born, and this is a major problem if they're going to be, you know, hauling people in and locking them up because they might have something on their records that would indicate deportation.
This goes back to that concept of a representation when incarcerated. You know, we get that now through the Supreme Court for a criminal accused, including a bomber, right, on an aircraft. But a guy that's has every right to be here doesn't or is not given that right to have counsel work for their behalf in those quote-unquote detention proceedings, right?
That's correct. And it's also disturbing that he actually did manage to get the documents from his criminal database and present these to the deportation officer, and the deportation officer ignored them. I don't know if your listeners probably aren't aware of this, but about a month ago there was a hunger strike at the Varick Detention Center. And one of the reasons for the hunger strike was that the ICE deportation officers, who were supposed to be the intermediaries handling these kinds of legal matters, don't follow up. They either don't show up when they're supposed to meet with the people who are being held, or when they do show up, they don't follow up as they should under law and release people for whom there's no legal authority for them to be held.
I want to use one of the other things on your blog, stateswithoutnations.blogspot.com, to sort of segue into some of the topics in your book, which is also called States Without Nations. This is from January 10th. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services says marriage does not require sex. It's probably a whole lot of people nodding their head out there in the audience. And I noticed you put a picture of the Clintons up there. Tell us a little bit about that, and then maybe we'll use that to segue into some of the ideas in the book.
Sure. Well, it's actually the process of trying to distinguish a fraudulent from a legitimate marriage is not one that comes, to legal attention, except in a very narrow range of situations, and one of these is applying for a green card. Let's say that you want to get married because you have really crummy health insurance benefits. The health insurance company that your spouse, your future spouse has, your own insurance company, they're not going to inspect the dynamics in your marital relationship and make sure the color of your spouse's toothbrush and so forth before, saying it's okay for that relationship to be considered a legal relationship, a legal marriage. However, in, assigning green cards, the United States government does take an interest in trying to verify legitimate relationships. And they have, and so it's interesting to try to figure out for the first time, and, again, in a very unusual situation, what the federal government considers a bona fide marriage. And that raises all sorts of questions your listeners might have some thoughts about. One of the criterion that is used for constituting a bona fide marriage, if the marriage occurs over the phone and it's in the context of service members marrying, is that there does actually have to be sex. However, if the marriage is occurring in person...
I'm sorry, phone sex?
No, it actually has to be in-person sex. So you can get married over the phone, but to be considered a legitimate marriage, you actually have to have sex at some point.
Yeah, you have to consummate. You got to actually have sex.
Exactly, if the marriage is over the phone. However, what the USCIS ruled is that if the marriage is in person...
You don't have to have
then
sex?
Then you don't have to have sex.
You used to have sex. That was the whole part of getting married, That's why you got married in the past, so you could have sex. That's what my dad told me back in the day.
Well, in now this case, it was a middle-aged couple, and they decided there were enough reasons of companionship and also health impediments to having sex that, and in the case of this one particular woman, an aversion to what turned out to be her husband's preference to sleeping with the dog, that this mitigated against having any sexual relationship. They were honest about this. And it turned out that this was a practice that the USCIS considered consistent with a bona fide marriage.
We're speaking with Jacqueline Stevens, and her book is States Without Nations, Citizenships for Mortals. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a lot of the ideas in the book, including, as I said, it would segue in, abolishing marriage as one of the suggestions of the book. If that doesn't get your curiosity up, I don't know what will. 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. When we come back from the break, we'll explore the book, but get online now so you can get your questions or comments in. 866-977-4820. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.
This portion of The Henry Raine Show is brought to you by Callens, Little & Delgado, a full-service law firm practicing personal injury, family, criminal defense, and immigration law.
I'm Scott Callens from the law firm of Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal. During this season of high roadway traffic, you need to be extra cautious. You should know that Harvard researchers have concluded that cell phone use while driving increases your likelihood of being injured in a car accident by 4 times. Reduce your chances of injury by driving a bit slower and by pulling from the roadway when you must use your cell phone. You'll arrive at your destination safely, and your caller will appreciate the attention that you've given them. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we help people who have been injured by careless drivers. If you or your loved ones have been injured in an accident, you may have questions. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we want to help. There's no charge to meet with us, and our fees are based on a percentage of what we recover for you. Call us at 941-749-1446. Let us help answer your questions. Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, 941-749-1446, or reach us at makeempay.net.
Hey, you bored going to work listening to the same thing every day on the other stations?
You betcha.
Wake up with The Big Show.
They're awesome, bro.
I love The Morning Show. It is so funny. I laugh out loud in my car.
Hi, it's Mike Reeves, host of The Big Show, the only show on the AM band that doesn't spend the entire time bashing politicians.
Unless they really need it.
One thing we do every morning is take your phone calls at 866-977-4820.
866-977-4820.
The Big Show in the morning on News Talk 820 AM, WWBA.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents A Word from Mike Rowe.
Save.
Thank you. For Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service, this has been A Word from Mike.
Wait a minute. That's not all I wanted to say. I wanted to talk about the service departments at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. You know, I wanted to talk about trust, confidence, expertise.
Well, go ahead.
All right. Look, the people I know want to keep their cars running as well as they can for as long as they can. It makes sense, right? Well, the way you do that is you take care of it at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships.
And?
Right, and save. You can also save there.
The Works Fuel Saver Package is a Motocraft Premium Synthetic Blend Oil and Filter Change, Tire Rotation, and Comprehensive Multi-Point Inspection, including battery tests, check of belts and hoses, fluid top-off, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can't beat that with a stick. Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealership or visit GenuineService.com for mail-in rebate details through 3/27/10.
Henry Raine Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA. CJ's in the studio.
Yo, yo, yo. Your president's black, Henry. Mine too.
820WWBA.com. Website for the station, the podcast site, henryraineshow.podomatic.com. Yeah, you can still listen to the January 3rd appearance of our guest, Jacqueline Stevens, author of States Without Nations, at that. And this interview will be up later on this evening, and as well as links to the websites, Jacqueline Stevens, JacquelineStevens.org, and stateswithoutnations.blogspot.com. Well, let's just start at the most basic thing about the book. The title, Jackie, States Without Nations. Most of us don't even know there can be any difference.
Right. Well, you know, states right now have their membership based on ideas about birth, either birth within a particular territory or birth to people who are already U.S. citizens or citizens of other countries, you know, respectively. And what the book argues is that there's a whole bunch of consequences that aren't really desirable that follow from associating membership in a state with ideas about birth. The root of the word nation is the Latin word nasci, and that means birth. And so, you know, in all other parts of our society, we've changed from using ideas about birth and heredity to award privileges to relying on ideas about merit and individual rights. And yet there's this one really significant area of our life where rules of allocating, you know, perhaps something that people really depend on quite a bit, where they live, and it's based on ideas about birth over which individuals have no control. And so the book shows that there are, you know, that it's irrational and that it causes a lot of harms, and then tries to think about what it would look like if instead of making membership in countries based on birth, we use the same rules for residents that we use for residents in states and cities in this country, which is that you establish yourself there for a certain period of time, and then based on that, you have rights to participate in voting and so forth.
So let me try and put it this way. So the difference between myself and the Mexican farmer that's trying to come across the Rio Grande because he can't survive on his farm anymore is I won the birthplace lottery and he didn't.
Exactly. That's the exact right way to put it.
And so you're saying it should be based on the efforts you put into being part of the community?
Right. I mean, just like the, right now, the difference between being able to live in Manhattan and other places might have to do with certain trade-offs that people are willing to make based on their income and their desire to live in one place and not another. So, you know, people in Tampa have an income that is substantially lower on average than the income of people in Manhattan. But we don't need to have a law that says, oh, well, people, you know, from Tampa can't ever move to Manhattan. So, you know, we let people sort themselves out within a federated system such as the United States, and there's no big problems associated with that. And so the suggestion is, hey, why not try this more globally? And by the way, this is a suggestion that's been put forward by the Wall Street Journal since 1984, which has proposed a constitutional amendment that says very simply, there shall be open borders.
Yeah, but who's going to benefit from that? I mean, and what is it going to do with, you know, it's like, remember when India and Pakistan had the problem between Muslims and the Islamic people? They created Pakistan and Bangladesh, and people just rushed to move from one part of the country to the other and creating these nations and displaced
right.
So many people. If they just opened the borders, wouldn't we have chaos for
a bunch of time? And to expand, aren't many wars just because one group of people have tried to occupy the land of another group of people?
Right. Well, I mean, I would turn it around and say, oh, well, you know, that worked out really well, right? I mean, India and Pakistan, like, that's a good situation.
No, it's not.
I mean, obviously, you know, so first of all, the argument isn't to eliminate any state administrative areas. So you could still have Pakistan and still have India. The argument is that people can move among them. And so in the example that you're giving, yeah, this would be a continual process and that people could live wherever they want to live.
Well, in the movie Avatar.
And so there's no reason to have a war.
In the movie Avatar, people were going after this natural resource, right? In the real world, we continually do that. We want oil, we want diamonds, we want it could be water in the future, it could be gosh knows what, some natural resource that one country has or doesn't have. So a country like China that may want a lot of resources to fund might send, because they're communist countries, send people to a region so that they can have some kind of power over the resources. Do you
Right.
I love that
you gave that example, because this really helps illustrate what I'm talking about. So one of the reasons that China, as China, might prefer to have that kind of sovereignty would be because there's some idea that there's a national stake, right? That there's a membership group that's hereditarily organized,
yes.
And that, you know, you can distinguish who counts as Chinese anybody else.
You can.
Right?
You can.
Right now. And so what I'm suggesting is that we stop allocating these kinds of resources based on ideas about heredity by reorganizing the basis of membership. And so if China turns out to be something that is based on a whole mix of different kinds of people, because the form of China is no longer a hereditary country, then there's no national basis for allocating resources on the basis of ethnicity tied to a sovereign country. And instead, if people want resources, then they bid for them on the market.
Okay. Before we try and explore that a little bit more, let me just try and take what CJ was talking, you were talking. In the world right now today, with China's population versus that of the Russia in Eastern Russia, which is pretty wide open now, the small population relative to China, mm-hmm. if those people just moved and it's wealthy in resources, it just crossed over the border, set up squatting rights on it all, how would it resolve itself right now?
Right. Okay. Well, let's think of this on a little smaller scale. Maybe that will be helpful. So the idea isn't that based on realigning populations and having people move one place or another, but rather reimagining the basis of these affiliations. So, for instance, there's a lot of people in New Jersey who wanted control of the Statue of Liberty, and there's a lot of people in Manhattan who said, no, that's ours. There can be these kinds of disputes between different territories within a jurisdiction, within right now our federal national jurisdiction. They don't lead to war. Right. So why is it that New Jersey and New York don't go to war over the Statue of Liberty?
Let me throw the curveball here.
But let me just get to the punchline. Right. And so the argument is it's because people don't experience their attachments to these different places, even though they're very strong, as being based on birth. And so that's the idea, is that once you sever this idea that the attachment to your country is based on birth, then people no longer feel invested in dying and fighting
that.
For those countries.
I buy that. But how about this problem? Racism, intolerance. I mean, the biggest problem, if you go to Scandinavia, everybody is blonde, well, not quite, but blonde and white, and you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Then you bring in the Turks to do the dirty work, and now we have race problems. The Japanese try to stay pure because they don't even want Koreans or anybody else that's Oriental over there because they want to keep a pure race. My experience, if you're in the Dominican Republic, who picks up the garbage there? The Haitians. You go to the Puerto Rico, who picks up the garbage? The Dominicans. You go to New York, who picks up the garbage? The Puerto Ricans. Every group has to have somebody to step on. They're better.
And Jackie, we're going to have to get your answer on the other side. I'm sorry.
I want to hear the answer.
We want to bring the audience
into... After the break, I'll take that up.
866-977-4820.
Racism.
866-977-4820. We're talking to Jacqueline Stevens, author of States Without Nations, Citizenship for Mortals. We'll get to that.
I don't want
to
black some of president.
Her, well, maybe we'll also go back to square one and tell...
I don't want
so
white
she can tell us
president.
How we get there... Instead of just throwing the problems at her. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show on News Talk AM 820.
Look at the Confederate flag. Look at the Confederate flag.
Too much for your prescription medication? Call Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600. In their sixth year of saving customers money on medications, Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Guaranteed delivery. Government inspected and approved factories. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600.
Tampa Bay, log on to NewsTalk820.com.
Genesis Communications, Tampa Bay.
News Talk, AM 820, WWBA.
The home of ABC News.
There's been a deadly mistake in the operation to boot the Taliban out of its last major stronghold in Afghanistan. Military officials say artillery rockets missed their intended target and hit a house near Marja, killing 12 civilians. National Security Advisor General Jim Jones says Operation Mashtarak is different than previous battles.
Instead of clearing the area and leaving, as we frequently did in the past, we now have our plans call for clearing the area, holding the area.
General Jones on Fox News Sunday. The state of Ohio says it will pay $1.1 million to Robert McClendon, who spent 18 years in prison for a rape he didn't commit. McClendon cleared by DNA. He says he's grateful, but money won't make up for the years he lost wrongfully imprisoned. A sport ute going the wrong way on I-85 near Atlanta hit three other vehicles. Officials say a total of 9 people were injured. Investigators say alcohol might be a factor. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Henry Rain Show here, News Talk AM 820 WWBA. CJ's in the studio. We're talking with Jacqueline Stevens, States Without Nations, Citizenship for Mortals. Website, jacquelinestevens.org and stateswithoutnations.blogspot.com.
Jacqueline.
And Jackie.
Hi.
Jacqueline.
You get to respond, and then we're going to dive deeper into the book.
Well, the question was about, I guess, like some idea that it's just human nature to pick on other people.
Yeah,
and,
I was in school.
Is that a good fair way of summarizing your point?
I was picked on a lot. Yeah, I was the nerd.
And, excuse me?
I was the nerd. I got picked on. I was different, so they wanted to beat me up all the time. What's the difference if you're black or white or in between?
Right, and you were pointing out the different kinds of ethnic and racial hierarchies in different parts of the world.
Yeah, we're all racist.
And I guess I'd like to point out two things. One is that those kinds of patterns have changed rather significantly, both within countries and across world history. So, you know, the kinds of divisions that we used to have, everything from slavery to aristocrats, that actually no longer exists. And so, you know, if you were going to point out in the 15th century, wow, like, you know, we really have to get rid of these aristocrats because it's really unfair and it has this, like, you know, hierarchy that's resulting in a lot of impoverishment and, you know, excessive consumption that's inconsistent with increasing the well-being of our people, the response would have been, are you crazy? Like, that's just part of human nature to have these kinds of divisions. You couldn't possibly get rid of that.
You're right, but that's within one. I mean, I remember being in South Africa during apartheid, personally, and you could be an Indian that was a gazillionaire, and within your own structure, you had an incredible life. You lived in mansions. You had more money than white people, but you couldn't stand in line with the white people. That separate but equal concept, you know, thing was going on, which doesn't work, obviously. It's not good. But isn't it more, we're going to see what you're advocating once we become one people, more than one nation. When I was a youngster trying to go on a date with a young black lady, and my gosh, in this community in Florida, I mean, it was really bad. It was nasty. You were looked at, and you could be beaten up. Now you see more interracial couples. You see more people. More babies that are. Look at our president; he's biracial, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
We're getting that. Your concepts and reading your book make sense, but it's going to be something that evolves as we become one race, even though we technically are. But you know, we're one color; we're mulatto or what have you. We're a mixture of everything. I mean, isn't that what you think's happening?
I don't know that it has to go that far. I mean, we do have, as you pointed out, a president who's phenotypically the child of a mixed race couple, and mm-hmm. that seems not to have deterred people from electing him.
Oh, in the South, it certainly has. Where I live, it certainly has.
Right.
There's still more racism here. We have a Confederate flag flying right up the road here that is bigger than the one that flies over the White House by far. I mean,
we have the largest one in the world.
Yeah, right there. And every day I got to drive by that symbol of.
Where
I-75
and I-4 meet.
You know, because to me, if you fly the Confederate flag, you're a terrorist. But neither here or there.
Right.
I mean,
no,
we're still dealing with that here. Maybe not in California.
This is part of a struggle, and it takes longer in some places than in others. The other point I just wanted to mention with respect to your point about maybe like racial or ethnic castes being more difficult to obliterate than those based on economic wealth, you know, going back to your example of the wealthy Indians in South Africa, is that these kinds of hierarchies change over time.
Mm-hmm.
And the different statuses of the groups that are considered to be, you know, privileged change in part according to the relative stature of the countries of origin. And so, you know, China, let's say, becomes more of a superpower, or India and so forth, those kinds of hierarchies are in flux as well. And so I think that all of this is kind of up for grabs, and that in any particular generation, these kinds of differences seem fixed. But that if you kind of take a step back and look at it, you know, if you look at world history over the long run, there's a lot more fluidity.
Yeah, well, I you know, your concepts make sense, except for, you know, and I think it's already what they were trying to make it happen. You know, with the president, with NAFTA, they were going to allow these trucks to roll from Mexico to the United States without changing the trucks over, the cargo. I think the whole idea of why they don't have immigration reform is because I don't think they want it. I think they just want to just allow
Jackie,
people to move.
I think your vision of a world without borders is much different from the multinational corporation's vision of a world without borders.
Well, they're already doing that, because I travel the world and I feel like I'm in the United States. You know, Outback Steakhouse is in San Jose, Costa Rica. I mean, what's going on with that?
Jackie, let's get into your book, States Without Nations, some of the proposals.
It's already happening.
But, you know, one of these things that came up in the back of my mind as you were saying, you know, with human nature, what's the point of making a club if you can't keep people out?
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Well,
you know, and again, we do. The book is pretty clear that I'm not against all clubs. I'm only, you know, suggesting that the ones that are based on ideas about ancestry or religion that exclude on those bases and inculcate violence on those bases are the ones that have caused the most, you know, systemic violence and death. And that those are the ones that we should be concerned about. So if people want to have exclusive clubs called Princeton or, you know, different kinds of football teams and so forth, you know, that's not something that concerns me, because those kinds of groups might be associated with rivalries and competition and even some hooliganism, let's say, in the case of, you know, rival soccer clubs. But they're not associated with the kind of systematic mass violence and inequality that we see associated with groups based on ideas about ethnicity and race or nationality.
In your book, States Without Nations, you have proposals for change for thought experiments, and let's look at some of those. 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820, and let us know if you agree or disagree with Jacqueline Stevens. The first one, we've sort of touched on a little bit, but abolishing birthright citizenship. How do you see this coming to be?
The birthers would be upset.
Well, it's really just an extension of the abolishing of birthright, you know, belonging to different cities or provinces that used to exist. And we touched on this in our last conversation, right, that it used to be that you couldn't leave your parish of birth without a pass, and those were only issued to people who had wealth, and that anybody who was proposing that, say, people in the countryside should be able to freely move into London were preaching chaos and anarchy. That there's anxieties that everybody, you know, that the unwashed masses would flood London and it would be a disaster. Well, you know, in the interest of economic growth and free movement and liberty, those kinds of restrictions went away. And so I'm just saying, let's just keep doing that. I mean, I actually think, even though that seems, you know, pretty extreme, that this is one of the developments that's going to happen, and that these efforts to put people in prisons because they're living in a place that, you know, they don't have legal documents is a form of barbarism in medieval, and that, you know, eventually, because of its incompatibility with overall ideas about human rights and liberal values, I can't see that this is going to last.
But we are capitalist in nature. We are SO whatevers, you know. I don't care if we go to church every Sunday and claim to be good moral people of faith. We step on our neighbor for a buck. We sell our mother for 50 cents. I mean, we have a nature of capitalism that we propose.
It's not even just capitalism. It's self-interest and greed.
Well, yeah. Well, that's where capitalism comes
capitalism
from.
Capitalism is accumulating capital.
Yeah, but why do we allow
that's going to be like number two here. We'll get to that one.
Undocumented come into this country, and we have to give up some. You see, that's the mentality of some of these buffoons, don't you think? I mean, how do we change them? Do you think we just...
Yeah, I see Nick keep answering the phone. People are calling in, but they don't seem to want to come on and actually speak their mind. 866-977-4820.
You know, that,
just calling
is
in there complaining off the air, but they don't want to actually talk?
Yeah,
I guess you're intimidating.
Yeah.
But, too radical. You know, actually, this is probably the least threatening to some people of her proposals. But let's move on to the next proposal. But one quick question on the birthright. Can you envision getting to that place without some very painful circumstances and actions that would happen along the way? Because we didn't get from the parish citizenship to a national citizenship without some violence and hard times.
I think that we've seen an example of this in the European Union. So this isn't just, you know, when they first became a single political entity for purposes of free movement from Spain and Portugal into and Greece into the wealthier areas, and this is, you know, not the 16th century, this is a very recent experience, there were very similar kinds of concerns along the lines that you were just voicing, and those turned out to be unfounded. And in fact, what happened is that there was more movement from of people from Portugal and Spain and Greece back to their countries of origin once there was a unified economic market, and that provided an incentive for direct investment in these poor areas. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't think there's going to be the massive displacement that you're worried about.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have a brave person here. 866-977-4820. 866-977-4820. Constantine in Tampa, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm originally from Eastern Europe. I lived in five countries, and I think the lady is smoking too much pot or something.
She's from California.
And she lives in a world of dreams. There is, in the next 1,000 years, something like that will never happen.
Why?
That's so great, because that's so funny coming from... So,
you, lady...
Coming from someone from Eastern Europe, because... that was exactly what people said about the fall of the Soviet Union. That would never happen.
Excuse me, have you ever lived in so many
countries? Excuse me, do you want to respond to that point or no?
Pardon?
One person at a time.
Can you answer her question, then she'll answer your next question.
Oh, what was the question?
Okay, she's going to answer it. Go ahead.
No, I was just pointing out that people thought that the Soviet Union wouldn't come to an end. And obviously that was incorrect. So I'm just, you know, it's just amusing to me that you would find some kind of thought that there was, possibilities of change to be associated with pot smoking.
Your response, Constantine, you may have to stay over the break to get to your next part.
Go ahead, Constantine.
No.
I want to hear you.
No. People are more divided than ever.
Why?
Okay, because people are stepped on by people moving from one country to another one. You know, breaking habits, customs, traditions, and believe it or not, I lived also in England. I lived in Italy, and believe it or not, like, I lived in Greece. And, for example, Greeks are not accepting to have Muslims with mosques, which, you know, it's a very hard habit to break because they've been under Ottoman occupation for 700 years.
Yes. Hey, Constantine, we've got 30 seconds till break. Did you want to... Are you done, or do you want to stay over and finish on the other side?
I can stay.
Okay, he's going
to
stay.
All right, 866-977-4820. We got Augie and Sarasota coming up next.
Augie.
866-977-4820.
Where
I need to be a few brave
Augie
souls
been?
Out there.
I love Augie.
You're listening to the Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA.
This portion of the Henry Raines Show is brought to you by HurtByAccident.com. 1-888-280-HURT. Personal injury attorneys, they'll come to you.
If you've been hurt in an accident and you've been contemplating talking to an attorney to see what rights you have, consider a few things. If you were hurt in an accident a few years ago, can you still make a claim? There's a statute of limitations on making personal injury claims. That means that if you wait too long, you may not be entitled to anything, so be advised. Secondly, will an attorney or law firm charge you a fee or cost regardless of the outcome of your case? Some will charge you costs even if they lose, so be advised. Hi, I'm C.J. Zaya. For nearly 20 years, my partner Kevin Gallagher and I have been representing accident victims, and we've been doing it for free. At Zion Gallagher, personal injury law is all we do, and if we don't win, we'll do it for free. At Zion Gallagher, we charge you nothing. That's no fees or costs unless we win. Our fee comes out of what we recover for you. Call us today, toll-free at 1-888-280-HURT. That's 1-888-280-8255. 280-HURT.
Struggling to get your life in order? Let us help by settling your debt. Imagine living a stress-free lifestyle that you deserve. If you are currently working and can afford making monthly payments, call our professionals today for a no-obligation analysis. Call 1-800-428-5807. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-428-5807. The government is bailing out the banks. Now it's your turn. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit cards and are working now but struggling to pay your bills, you may qualify for one of our partners' debt settlement programs. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-428-5807. Get your life back on track. You deserve it. 1-800-428-5807. 1-800-428-5807.
You're sitting in traffic, knowing what's coming up next because it's the same thing every day.
Yes!
Flip it to 820 a.m. WWBA for the big show.
I like the morning show. Keep us laughing.
I laugh a lot.
Hi, it's Mike Reeves, your host, along with Roger Shulman, Shayna Lance, and JoJo Walker of the best morning show in town. Local and national news, lots of laughs, and unlike our direct competition,
the hosts are not allowed to fall asleep on the air.
The big show in the morning on News Talk 820 a.m. WWBA.
News Talk AM 820 WWBA.
Smackdown with Henry.
With local programming, including the Henry Rain Show, which you're listening to right now with CJ in the studio. And we're going to have to start tweeting on Twitter some of the things we say
that
can't go over the airwaves.
No, not at all.
Let's go and finish up with Constantine, then we'll get to Augie, and we can get to you at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. And Constantine, just hang on just a second, because I want to make sure we at least mention these, even if we don't get deep in the discussion. That the first proposal from States Without Nations is
good book.
Abolishing birthright citizenship. Second proposal, abolishing inheritance. Third, abolishing marriage. And fourth, abolishing land rights. So much there with so little time. Constantine, go ahead and finish your point. Still got to move on to the next caller.
After I lived in several countries and I'm here, I think that the only way you can have, you know, something like movement of people from one country to another one is through legal and orderly immigration system. Anything else would be exactly like what is happening in France, where people hate each other more than ever before, you know, between certain North African groups and the French and the others.
Is it really religion or is it people?
Is it people?
It's not
people,
the...
People is the biggest problem. Like, you know, I came in the United States and I integrated, I assimilated into the culture and into everything of the United States because nobody forced me to come here.
Right.
I think that anybody that moves to another, somebody moving from one village to another one should integrate into the life of the other village. Well, a lot of stuff is not happening.
All right, Constantine, we're going to have to let you go.
You know,
I got another call.
It's got an interesting point, and it's very well
thought
out.
All right, please call again.
Thank you. Very, very well thought out, an interesting point.
Okay, we can get to you at 866-977-4820,
866-977-4820. You got to integrate, baby.
I'm sure that Jackie would have comments to that, but
Jackie,
let's get Augie in before we get too far gone here on time. Augie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. The lady's points, I think, I didn't get the initial part of her presentation about the inheritance thing, which I'm scratching my head about. But the issue of open borders, I think, is the European Union has really proven it. But the United States actually did it long, long ago. It was not an organized nation. And the fight in the United States to create what we became the United States was with Washington and Jefferson, who wanted states' rights maintained. Hamilton, Paine, and others didn't want that. They wanted a federal government. So, you know, when a federal government would have given us one nation and no states' rights at all, and that has plagued this country more than anything else, the separation by money and other things from borders within states and taxing and all the other things, which is, it's duplicated efforts and so on. But if you took away the border of Canada and the United States like they do in Europe, there is no sense to that border at all. There's no safety factor there. And it wouldn't be long, as she's suggested in other ways, for the border of Mexico to do the same thing. Because the free right now, the only issue on the border of Mexico is the fact that we keep drugs illegal, and that creates an ongoing war. Of course, that is the same problem over in Afghanistan, that we, by having our drug laws as they are, we actually are maintaining war in this country. So that those are my major points.
Okay, let's get a response. Jackie?
I agree with what the caller is saying. I think that we're just agreeing with each other.
Good.
I mean, it's in some ways this is a pretty libertarian position that he's elaborating by pointing out the problems with restricting making certain kinds of drugs illegal. But the point's well taken that having some kind of unified possibility of trade within the United States, which is through the Constitution requiring states not to limit trade among the states or movement among the states, has been a source of economic growth for this country. And that principle could be extended to include not only our neighboring countries, but immigration and movement from around the world.
The other point I would like to make is that we don't, as a country, seem too bothered by the fact that we allow our corporations to run all over the world freely.
Good point.
And as a consequence, they the kinds of freedom that are being suggested here. Maybe that is why the Supreme Court got confused of what an individual really is.
All right, thank you, Augie. That's going to help me raise the next point.
That's profound. Augie is a genius.
We were talking earlier in the show, before Jackie came on, about the differences between whether corporations could be natural persons or artificial
persons. They should not be.
And I can segue this right into abolishing inheritance, because there is never the issue of inheritance with a corporation. If you try and consider it a person, it's a person that will never give an inheritance.
He'll
because it
die.
Will never die. But one of your proposals, abolishing inheritance here. And let me also read the little header you put at the chapter 4. Amount spent lobbying to bookmarked it. But I think if I remember correctly, the number of people subject to an inheritance tax is a little over 1%.
That's correct.
The mega wealthy.
The number of people that think we should eliminate the inheritance tax is at 67%.
They're ignorant because they call it death taxes. They spun that around to something that isn't true.
I imagine I might even speak for CJ on this one. I want to be able to leave my children a little something to help them in their way in the world.
There's a little something, and then there's a lot of something.
Well, but she say abolish the inheritance. Let her speak. Jacqueline Stevens, author of States Without Nations.
Well, okay, so the reason that you would want to leave, and anybody might want to leave their children or loved ones a little something, is to make sure that they have some kind of security in the world.
Yes.
And what the flip side of the proposal to eliminate inheritance explores is establishing through the wealth that would be basically 100% wealth tax at death, is establishing a global fund that would provide for basic health and education and housing worldwide. And that accomplishes two things. One, it means that the pressure for people to leave their place of residence currently, if they're in a poorer area, goes away because, or at least the economic incentive to do that goes away. And the second thing it does is it actually really does provide security to a whole, large range of families beyond just those who actually have a lot of wealth to pass on.
Yeah, but what would really happen is people would spend their money, wouldn't they? Instead of giving, if I knew that I was going to, and I was a wealthy guy like that, I was going to have to give up all this money, I would create an endowment for, the CJ whatever library for, at the USF or something. I mean,
that's not a bad thing. I mean, in the chapter that discusses this, I look at a lot of examples of how people under our current tax regime deal with spending down their wealth, very wealthy individuals. And one thing that turns out is that although, this proposal would allow people to distribute their wealth during their lifetime in any way that they want, people don't actually give disproportionately before they die right now, even though there are tax incentives for very wealthy families to do so. And it seems that people want to control their wealth while they're alive. And you know, the possibility of people endowing, you know, research libraries and so forth during their lifetimes is not a bad idea. This isn't based just on pragmatics. There's also a principle
Jackie,
here.
We're almost out of time, so let me just phrase it in a very selfish way. CJ will probably be able to give his children more than I. I will be able to give my children more than a lot of the people that are living in the inner cities. Why would I want to level the playing field out? I would like to make sure that my children have enough. We don't. If we level it out for everybody, there's a whole lot of people that aren't leaving anything behind them.
Right. Well, so the point is that in a democratic system, if you have a system in which most people aren't getting something, then there would seem to be some kind of majority impetus to changing those kinds of policies, so that even though you personally or your children individually will not benefit from this, a majority of people would. And so, you know, we tend to discuss policy on the basis of what serves most people as opposed to what serves the interests of the people who are relatively well off.
It's a great concept, but I think I'm going to sit around on my butt here and do radio and get paid nothing, and then maybe she'll let me inherit some of her money or write me a check. I don't
or
think...
inherit some of yours.
Oh, my! I don't have anything.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a poor man.
I wanted you to adopt me. Jacqueline
Stevens.
It's
a great concept. I really do. I think someday we're going to get there, but the question is,
well,
it's not
you really should get the book and look at some of these concepts, because I guarantee you're going to think about things you never thought of
before. I feel like I'm back at college. Are you a professor by any chance, Jacqueline? Because it's great stuff. You know, when you get out in the real, you know, you come out of school, at school you think about all this and how we can do this, and getting a, you know, then you go to work at Mickey D's or something, and then you get back to the reality of stuff, and you forget how we could be.
If you can get a job at
Mickey D's. Right.
And thanks for bringing that up. I mean, one of the things that I tried to do in this book is use a lot of real-life examples so that people could, you know, think of this in a way that is practical. And so this has been really, you know, a lot of fun to talk about with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, let me plug the book again. States Without Nations, Citizenship for Mortals, Jacqueline Stevens, the web site JacquelineStevens.org,
Jacqueline,
also stateswithoutnations.blogspot.com. You'll be able to get to all that. It'll be up on the podcast site later. And, Jackie, thanks so much for spending all this time with us on a Sunday. It was fun, and I knew we'd barely get into it, but at least we got into some of it.
That's something to think about.
Oh, quick. Have you ever read John Robb's Brave New War?
No, but now
I'll
that you
send you the
it,
link.
You'll
be very interested in the parallel to your thoughts, only it's a much darker version of how
darker
we get there.
Version.
All right. Thank you, Jackie Stevens. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Right, bye.
Wow. Another show is done? How can this be, Henry?
It just flies. We need more hours. You've been listening to the Henry Raine Show. CJ's been in the studio. Thank you, CJ. Thanks, Jackie Stevens.
Hey.
Thank to Nick in the control room. Thanks to our callers, our listeners. We'll be back next
Happy
Sunday
Valentine's.
With another Henry Raine
Peace
Show. That's
and
right.
Love.
I got to remember
Peace
that
and love,
before
baby.
I get home.
News Talk AM 820. 820. 820.